It's Monday, and that means it's time to talk movies as we bring in our Hollywood insider, our good friend, Al Harris. Al, hopefully you had a wonderful weekend. Great to have you on again. And while we spent a lot of time last week discussing that Fast and Furious stuff, I think it's time to move on to the next chapter here, and we'll get
into I don't know, man. I don't know if you heard the news. I was excited to tell you this.
Oh, boy. What do you have?
Well, first of all, on the verge of earning $1 billion nationwide, I think they're at like 900 and something million, there was an announcement coming out that they're working on a spinoff with Jason Statham and Dwayne Johnson's characters. So looks like the Fast and the Furious universe is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger, Bull.
I thought I had heard that they're going to do like a 9 and a 10 or, I don't know, I've lost track. It's like, this is like the Meatballs movies like back in the 80s. I mean, when are they ever going to stop? You know, I get it, they make money, that's fine, okay, but geez, oh man, I mean, I haven't seen it and I don't plan on seeing it. I was told that, you know, at the beginning the effects are cool, at the end the effects are cool, there's a couple of decent scenes, but they say the story is nauseating. Again, I can't speak for it because I didn't see it, but I saw it. All right, what do you got?
The story's not great, but they're not supposed to be. You know what? I walked in, I thought the movie was a complete mess, but it was very entertaining. I was entertained throughout it. I like fell asleep for 5 minutes and didn't miss a thing.
Wow.
So it's one of those where it's like, oh, it's fun, it's good.
You
late,
fell asleep
early
during
summer,
it.
Late spring popcorn movie where you just go to just forget about everything and enjoy the horrible dialogue, the huge action pieces, and not to mention there's a great scene with Jason Statham killing guys while carrying a baby. You can't
about
that.
Interesting.
That's impressive. Yeah, I think, Bull, I think you're looking a little too deep into these movies. They're not supposed to be those ones you think about at the end. You just watch it, you go home and move on.
I honestly couldn't even tell you what the plot was after seeing it last week. Because you just forget about it. But they're fun.
There's a ringing endorsement. I forgot about the plot. Then you also fell asleep during the movie, too.
Yeah. I didn't lose anything from it. You know, if I can fall asleep in a movie, wake up, and still enjoy it, that's saying a little something, right?
That's a plus in a way.
You see it your way. I see it mine. I guess we'll just leave it at that. Chris Pratt.
And you know me, I'm a huge movie snob, so there's a lot.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. That's why we bring you on.
With these movies, they're just, you know, they are what they are. They don't try to be anything else. And there's something nice about that, especially in the doldrums of the movie-going experience where there's nothing really great coming out. Even though I did also see Free Fire this weekend, which I will, again, recommend. That was a lot of fun. But
was it funny?
What?
Was it funny?
It was. You know what? It was like a slapstick version of Reservoir Dogs.
Okay. To me, I can get into that. I've seen the posters and I've seen the propaganda in and around the area for that.
Sure.
So I was very interested in seeing that because you're right. As far as, you know, television previews and things like that and online trailers, it didn't get a whole lot of run, but
no.
I'm at least intrigued by that movie. There's another movie I'm intrigued by, and that would be The Guardians of the Galaxy. Chris Pratt has his own Hollywood star? That seemed a little bit early for you?
It does, and we were talking about this earlier. John Goodman just got his a couple weeks ago, and he'd been, you know, he's got a much more impressive body of work. I think Chris Pratt's great, even though I wasn't as enthused by the original Guardians of the Galaxy as a lot of people, and I thought Jurassic World was just okay. But he was great in Parks and Rec, which is one of my favorite shows of all time, so I'll always have a soft spot for Chris Pratt. But I don't really think he deserves it, no. He's done a couple blockbusters. He hasn't done any, like, I mean, Passengers also got panned, so it's not like he's been in a good critical movie besides Moneyball, which is a very small part. So I think he needs a little more time. I think it's just, you know, it's a way to promote the movie. It adds to it. It's Hollywood. It's all, you know, everyone's, you know, with each other, and it's very easy to be like, hey, let's give this guy a star, free promotion. Let's see what happens.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. I mean, isn't the Hollywood star essentially something that – it's amazing to me that people who have stars there in Hollywood, I think,
sure.
Why? Why would they give – I think Donald Trump's got one, and I just why? The guy's a businessman. Why does he have a star in Hollywood?
Well, he had a show. He, you know, a lot of it is, some of it is deserving, like we said, with Goodman's the latest one I can think of, where that was definitely deserved and was a touching moment, and it should have happened a long time ago. And then you have people like Trump, like Chris Pratt, like other people where it's just, let's promote something, let's give something out, let's have people come by. Sure. And I mean, it took – Breaking Bad was the biggest show on television. They did not get a – none of the cast got a star until that show was completed. So it's like – I think they wait for the right moment to do it.
You think it's Pratt's story, too? Because I know he started off as one of these guys who was living in his car, just trying to make ends meet. Then all of a sudden he gets that role in Parks and Rec, and everything takes off. He loses 50 pounds and becomes a big action star, too.
I don't, because I think there's a lot of people with this same kind of story out here. Mm-hmm. I think it's really – I mean, look at – all you got to do is look at the timing. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 comes out in a week. So what do? Give him the star. Let's talk about it. And which is what we're doing right now. So I think it's all publicity.
Our Hollywood insider Al Harris is joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's talk about that Guardians of the Galaxy. I enjoyed the previews. I mean, I don't think it comes out until May 4th, so that's not this weekend, but the weekend after, if I'm not mistaken. I'm at least intrigued by it. You know, it does have a little bit of star power in there. We've been talking about Pratt, and in addition to Pratt, of course, you've got Dave Bautista, or I think his screen name is just Bautista. You know, Baby Groot, which I think there's
Vin Diesel.
You got Vin Diesel. I mean, you know, there's something to be said for all of that. And then Bradley Cooper does the voiceover for that Fox character, correct?
Raccoon, but yes.
Raccoon, Bradley Cooper does the voice. Okay, gotcha.
But they've added a couple pieces. Kurt Russell's supposedly playing a human planet, so we'll see what that's like. And then there's been rumors of Sylvester Stallone being in this one as well.
Wow.
So that should be interesting. And it's a good time you brought it up because a lot of the reviews just came out today, early reviews from critics. And it's a little mixed more than the first one. A lot of people are saying that, you know, it's fun, it's a good movie, it's entertaining, it keeps a lot of what made the original good, but it's just not as good as the original and doesn't really push it, just kind of, you know, here it is. They're saying it's a good movie, but it doesn't do anything to really push the series.
Well, and I've heard they've already got plans in place to make another one, which is weird because they haven't even released this one just yet, but... Be that as it may, moving on to a totally different subject here. You and I love Bill Murray for all the obvious reasons because he's just so random. Some of the things that he does, they're really, really good. Like the video you showed me of him hanging out with the two members of the Wu-Tang Clan. And then, of course, he did the Very Murray Christmas, which, would love to forget about that. I mean, it looked so good on the surface. And then I watched it and I thought, what is this?
But yeah, now, I agree with that.
He's actually going on tour. He's going on tour working on classical music. Have you heard about this?
I did, from you, and I did a little research. But the first thing I thought when you told me that was, it didn't even, move my surprise meter at all. Like, this seems like totally something he would do. Why not? I think classical music's a little weird. Like, I could have seen him doing, his, you know, lounge singer bit from SNL, bringing that to the stage and doing a tour of that. But to do classical music's a little weird. But anything he does, I mean, he's been known to just, interrupt bachelor parties, meet random people on the street and take them out for the evening. Like, anything he does not surprise me. So, good for him, man. And that's that's the glory thing about being a celebrity. And you see that a lot here in L.A. where Jeff Goldblum hosts a show every week where he just plays piano and sings show tunes. So it's when you're a celebrity, you can pretty much, if you have that name appeal, go out and do what you want. So good for him. I probably will not go see that, but I'm glad. I'm sure there will be people that will come out to see him.
Well, yeah, because Bill Murray. I mean, there's enough intrigue in the name by itself. So
that doesn't do enough to turn the needle to me to enjoy a night of classical music, at least for me. Maybe other people, but
fair enough. And I'm anxious to see how he makes that entertaining because he has a way of at least getting you to watch.
Yeah.
Much like that Very Murray Christmas, but be that as it may, boy, it's weird when we have you on. It's like the day or two after, something pops up and we think, wait a minute. We should ask Al about that. Like when I was trying to find IFC and I couldn't find it, I was trying to watch Brockmire and I couldn't find it, but I saw all the trailers and laughed hysterically. I'm still trying to find it, but man, are those trailers great. The writing seems very good in Brockmire. And while we're talking about writing, seems like a writer's strike, at least for the time being, could be imminent. What are you hearing about that?
I'm hearing it's kind of 50-50 right now. If it does, it would take place, I think, on May 2nd is the day. And this one, from what I've heard, is the original strike that came, what was it, 10 years ago, which I don't know if people remember, kind of gave us a lot of shortened seasons of shows. Some movies got rushed. There was a lot of things happening. That was also kind of, people had an idea that was going to happen. This one's coming a little, not out of left field, but they thought there wouldn't be a strike this time around. So I don't think the studios are as ready for it to happen as they were in the past. And I know the big thing was like Breaking Bad's first season was only 6 episodes, kind of like a half season. A lot of other shows had that same thing. And so we'll see what happens this time. There are enough TV shows that already are in the docket to be coming out in the summer, but it's definitely going to hurt the shows that are coming out in the fall that are supposed to start shooting, you know, May and June. So we'll see what happens. I think they'll resolve it. A lot of the issues are just wages and getting higher salaries. So I think they'll eventually come to an agreement, but we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, that deadline is rapidly approaching. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned May 2nd, right?
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I believe, if my math is correct, that's a week from tomorrow, so they better get that thing resolved pretty soon because, as you mentioned, we saw the effects of it last time around. All right, Al, we'll cut you loose on this. Every week we ask for your weekly picks to click. Who makes the list this week?
Well, this is another good week, just like last. We have Dear White People coming out on Netflix, which I've heard really good things. And I like the film it was based on that came out. I thought it was great. I'm a little worried because it's not a lot of the same cast, who I thought were great. And then American Gods is coming out on Stars on Sunday, which is getting huge publicity, or was getting in the nerd community at least, because it's based on a celebrated book by Neil Gaiman. But for me right now, the pick to click will be Handmaid's Tale, which comes out on Wednesday on Hulu, which is set in like kind of a dystopian future, starring Elizabeth Moss, Samira Wiley from Orange is the New Black, Alexis Bledel from Gilmore Girls, and everything I've heard has been pretty rave reviews about that show. Plus, the trailer looked great, so I'm very looking forward to that one.
Handmaid's Tale?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
On Hulu, yes.
Okay, all right. So a few excellent picks, as always. Al, we appreciate the time, as always, my friend. Hopefully, when you're on next week, we're talking about how they've resolved this potential writer's strike, and we can all move on, and we can talk about bigger and better things moving forward. But we appreciate the time, as always, my friend.
That would be great. Thank you, guys.
All righty. That's our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to take a quick break, but we're coming right back after this.